What's going on? What's up, Vunganyi, right here in Washington, D.C.?
And I'm Nadia Sami. Thanks for joining us. We'd love to have you on board. This is Upfront on The Voice of America. Hot, hot.
Upfront is a show that explores issues
that affect your daily lives. Don't move that dial. Get your snacks, get your cup of tea or your cup of coffee. Put your feet up. This is Upfront. cheers. Clink, clink. We engage you, the listener, and interact on a different topic each week. We've got loads of good tunes, lovely music, and lots of analysis to keep you going.
And interviews from experts or you young people telling us what you think about our daily topic.
That's always the best part of the show, Jackson, to hear what the listeners have to say. There's always lots of juicy comments and lots of different perspectives. Absolutely,
so stay tuned. Welcome to Upfront on The Voice of America. Thank you for tuning in. My name is Jackson Vunganyi here in Washington, D.C. Now, climate change has been on the mind of so many people lately. And in fact, it has been described as one of the most important fights of our generation. In Africa, as in other parts of the world, experts say that the changing climate affects society and ecosystems in many ways. For example, climate change can increase or decrease rainfall. It can influence agricultural crop yields, affect human health, cause changes to forests and other ecosystems, or even impact our energy supply. It has become more clear of late that climate-related impacts are taking place all over the African continent. In his speech at the UN Climate Summit, the big climate summit, President Obama reiterated that the effects of climate change and pollution to developing countries are enormous. In Africa, over the last decade, rapid growth and industrialization in many parts of the continent has improved lives, but has also caused environmental degradation. At the climate summit this week, over 125 world leaders vowed to better care for the planet by committing to reduce carbon emissions and investing in clean energy. That's part of the list of things that need to be done in this fight against climate change. So on the show today, we will talk about some of the work that young Africans are doing to protect their environment as they mitigate against climate change. The question many people on the continent ask is it possible to achieve industrialization and economic development while protecting our environment? What is your role and what are you doing? Do you feel a stake or an ownership in your environment? And what are you doing to protect it for the next generation? Let's talk. This is Upfront on The Voice of America.
Nine say greetings, name of the mighty king, and I is played by the king of love.
There's one issue that will define the contours of this century more dramatically than any other, and that is the urgent and growing threat of a changing climate.
In our environment, people pour rubbish in trenches, and at the end of the day, they are locked out, not trained, and they're not educated about how to protect the environment by leaders. But then they do try to conserve, like the head of the youth in our community tries to organize young boys, and they clean around, clean about trenches, clean about, plant more trees in the area. I always make sure my garbage is collected.
The economic activity that the youth do to destroy the environment without their knowledge is to cut down trees. They use that trees to burn either charcoal or to burn bricks. They don't know. If they know, they don't care. Because that's their economic activity. That's their way of surviving. Basically, they are not aware. I cannot blame the government. The government cannot bring that awareness enough. There is no way you can make everyone aware. I replace what I've destroyed. Of course, I do what is supposed to be done, replacing, and as well telling people to do the same thing that I do.
Try to educate the young, because I'm a leader also, and try to educate my fellow youth about environment. Teach them, plant them, conserve the environment, organize dustbins around my compound, my entire area, so that they can dump the dustbin, because that's the most clean reader that leads to blockage of sewage and all that thing.
Smoking destroys the environment. Be aware. Because if somebody can talk about cutting trees destroys the environment, then somebody is in position to know, is aware about the environment. Anyway, I shouldn't cut trees. I shouldn't just throw rubbish around because it destroys the environment.
automatically cutting down trees, and yeah, often cutting down of trees, then rubbish disposal, poor rubbish disposal. Caveras automatically, they block the ground from rain, so it won't be so good. Use them two holes above your nose to see the proof, yo. Imagine a contraption that could take us back when the world was run by black men. Back to the future, anything could happen. If these are the last days and 100-foot waves come crashing down, I get some hash, some pounds, pass around some bud and watch the flood. Can't stop apocalypse, my synopsis is catastrophic. If satellites is causing earthquakes, will we survive it? Honestly, man, it's the sign of the times and the times at hand. There's a lot of work to be done, oh God, in the promised land. Yeah, talking about the promised land, oh God, take me to the promised land.
Kanyenda from Blantyre, Malawi. My people in my society are fond of dumping litters in rivers, and by the end of the day they end up in polluting water, which is not healthy to people who used to wash clothes at the river. I had a community talk whereby they agreed that everyone at home must dig a pit for dumping the litters so that they can protect water at the river. The situation is a bit fine right now.
In our community, young people are aware about the environment because the tribe, they are best to do the better method of farming, and they avoid bushfire because bushfire is so dangerous to the environment. If you set the fire in the forest or in any area, destroy young animals that fail to run away, and it destroys some young grasses there that covers soil, so the heavy land carries away the soil.
We are all taking part in the environmental issues by the planting of trees and also making of villages which control soil erosion.
I think young people here in Malawi are doing a lot to protect the environment. There is a group of journalists which has been formed to look into the issues of protecting environment, and most of these journalists are young, and this is an indication that young people are taking the center stage in Malawi on issues of protecting the environment. I've been reading stories, their stories about issues of environment and finding the lasting solution to the problem.
Welcome to Upfront, and thanks for joining us today. We're discussing a very important topic to our lives and the future of our continent. We're faced with serious environmental issues, and we need to start looking for solutions to prevent further damage and to try to undo some of the damage we've already done. And there's been a lot of damage, Jackson. Now, people sometimes say that ignorance is bliss, but it's getting increasingly difficult to ignore the damage we've done to the environment, especially when the effects have been hitting so close to home. We need to start off by examining some of our daily activities and how they actually affect the environment around us. How do you dispose of your trash? Do you recycle? How do you cook your meals? Where do you get your water from? And how do you use electricity?
Before investigating the role that youth can play in addressing environmental issues, it's important to provide some context here and establish a background by identifying our current state of the environment. The nature, extent, and the severity of environmental problems vary tremendously from one part of the world. And on the African continent, we have very unique challenges. So what's the role that young people can play in meeting those challenges? Oguchi Anyaka Olugbo is a young reporter from Nigeria. She recently won an environmental award for reporting about environmental issues in her community. I spoke to her, but we started off by singing a little song, a little something about the environment.
Yeah, I think that's good enough.
Oh, go on. I was starting to get into it.
You know what that means? It rained today. It's been so long.
Did you make up that song?
No.
Because it was raining outside.
Yeah, it was raining. And you know, something about the song is it's a song that talks about the environment. My name is Oguchi Anyaka. I'm a Nigerian journalist, an environmental journalist. And I am the Young United Nations Environment Programme Young Environmental Journalist Africa.
What was the topic of your article that was nominated for the award?
It was the story. It was a story about a young man in Mpapi. It's a satellite town in the Federal Capital Territory, Abuja, who practically takes waste paper, soaks them in water, dries them, and converts them to paper briquettes used for cooking instead of cutting the trees.
And so you wrote this article about him and it caught international attention.
Exactly.
And were you surprised?
Yes, I was, because I heard about the competition and I sent in my story, and I was glad to be called upon to be called by UNEP. I was shortlisted for the award initially. It was an interesting day for me, happy day for me.
We want to congratulate you for award. What are some of the issues people in Abuja or generally Nigeria face, environmental issues?
Okay, in Abuja, I would say it's getting extremely hot in Abuja, hotter than usual. You wind down your window and it's extremely hot.
Why?
And sometimes when it rains, the wind comes so strong, because we've heard that up north, the trees have been chopped off and we don't have wind breaks anymore.
Oh.
So the wind just comes so strong, and most times it's could blow off roofs of homes and even take down trees.
Wow, has there been any type of awareness about this?
Yeah, of course. Of course. People are aware, and people are aware of the changes that's happening around them. And cutting down
trees, they can feel the effect of it.
Yeah, they can feel the effect, especially because of the extreme
heat.
But
this is something that they're feeling the effect of, something that is happening up north.
Up north.
Way, way far away.
And those up north are also feeling sand dunes taking over their homes, their wells, their farmland, and becoming a desert apparently. So it's a serious issue in Africa.
Now, when we talk about issues on the African continent, things that really grab or capture the headlines are things like poverty, war, and all the...
But
the environment is not a very sexy topic.
Exactly.
How can we make it a relevant topic?
I think we can make it a relevant topic by letting people understand that this is the future. Entertainment, fashion, all of these are all dependent on the planet. We take our resources from the planet for our fashion. We are humans and we live on the planet and to be entertained or to be part of entertainment. So all these are dependent on our environment, and when we have a failed ecosystem, when we have a failed planet, everything else fails. So it's high time we understood that our very existence is being threatened, and that we should all contribute towards saving our planet and saving the future, saving the planet for our future.
Now, you started off not as an environmental reporter. How did you get into this? What inspired you?
I've always been interested in the environment. I think I remember telling people as a child, I grew up in Aba, Abia State.
Abia State?
Yes, Abia State. the waste was usually burnt. So people come up, get their waste and set fire on it, and it burns. So I asked my mom, what happens to the smoke when we burn waste? She said, nothing. It just goes up to the clouds and it stays there. And the cloud is so big and not... Until many years after, I realized what happens to
Now, that's very important, because here is your mother. I can imagine. Is she a very educated woman?
Mm-hmm, she is. She's okay. A teacher.
Now, the reason why she told you that is because she did not understand the impact of...
Yes. And many years back then, no one knew the impact. Even the scientists weren't certain of the impact. But now, we're realizing what we've done.
So there's a level of ignorance about the environment among the elite, the educated, and those who are not educated.
Yes, exactly. There is a level of ignorance. Nobody seems to be interested.
Or even care.
Yeah, or even care about what's happening. I think it's become a culture, it's become a lifestyle, so it's difficult to break off, it's difficult to change what we're used to.
I'm a Kushman, I'm from Kush. I'm a Kushman, a Kushman. I'm a Kushman.
My name is John Kwai. I come from Jonglei State. Concerning the environment, people down in the villages are not aware of the environment, and they are not taking care of the environment. At least in our state, people are destroying environment here and there, and especially cutting down trees for charcoals and other activities. But at least those in the towns or those who are aware of the environment are trying also to campaign for tree planting, which is being done at the towns, in the schools, but that is not enough so far. As a teacher, I've started campaigning for trees planting in the schools and even my home state.
I'm called John Ajang from South Sudanese. To be sincere with what you have asked, the environment, it seems that South Sudan is a newborn country, and we want to encourage people so that they cannot destroy our environment in a way that they cannot depose the waste like the way you have seen around. So we want to introduce the system of controlling the environment by not deposing this garbage anyhowly. And also, they want to keep some car away from the road so that the road will be enlarged, and many things like the trees to be grown so that the environment will be looked clear.
I'm Anywat Deng Anywat, a teacher of a primary school, to a voice. Environment, of course, one of the important things. That, of course, a major source of income in South Sudan here. And I'm sure that as we talk now, many of our citizens, of course, haven't understood the importance of environment. As we talk now, there are so of many activities that are going on, destroying, of course, our environment, like deforestation and so other things, burning of bushes. And of course, we of course lack of caring for our environment.
Now, experts say one of the quickest solutions to deforestation and other related activities would be to simply stop cutting down trees. Though deforestation rates have slowed a bit in recent years, financial realities make this an unlikely option to really take hold. We need a more realistic solution that seeks to carefully manage forest resources by eliminating clear cutting to make sure that forest environments remain intact, to ensure that those environments for animals remain in place. We also need to learn how to recycle our material, to separate our trash, to buy smartly, and really to dump correctly and change many of our daily activities that threaten the environment. In case you've just joined us, welcome to it, and thank you for being with us today. This is Upfront. I'm Nadia Sami. Jackson Vungani is in Washington, D.C. This is the part of the show where you get to express your opinion and talk about the topic we're discussing today. Here's what you had to say.
I try to educate the young because I'm a leader also, and try to educate my fellow youth about environment, teach them, plant them, conserve the environment, organize dustbins around my compound, my entire area, so that they can dump the dustbin, because that's the most ringleader that leads to blockage of sewage and all that thing.
Smoking destroys the environment. They are aware. Because if somebody can talk about cutting trees destroys the environment, then somebody is in position to know, is aware about the environment. Anyway, I shouldn't cut trees. I shouldn't just throw rubbish around because it destroys the environment.
automatically cutting down trees, and yeah, often cutting down of trees, then rubbish disposal, poor rubbish disposal. Throwing caveras automatically, they block the ground from rain, so it won't be so good. No, they are not aware because they are not sensitized by the government. I sensitize the people. The first of all, the ones I stay with, then the environment as well. I sensitize the society so that they can preserve the environment. Hey, young world, the world is yours. Hey, young world, the world is yours. Young world, young world, the world is yours. Young world, this rap is it may cause concern, it's boring. Why don't you listen and learn? Love brings happiness. That once was strong, but you to society, even that's turned wrong. Times have changed. Hey, it's cool to look bummy and be a dumb dummy and disrespect your mommy. Have you forgotten? Who put you on this earth, huh? Who brought you out proud? And who loved you since your birth? Reward is a brainwashed kid going wild. Young little girls already have a child. Bad company. Hey, now you've been framed. Your parents are hurted and ashamed. For ruining yourself. And your mommy can't cope. Hey, little kids, don't follow these dopes. As a rule from a non-fool. Your life don't drool. Don't be a fool like those that don't go to school. Get ahead and accomplish things. You'll see the wonder and the joy life brings. Don't admire these. Hey, they don't admire you. Their time's limited.
So there's an agreement that young people can do a lot in mitigating climate change by fighting to preserve their environment. In Rwanda, an association called the Youth Alliance for Climate Actions was founded to address climate change and youth unemployment. Landry Mayigane, the founder of this association, says these are two major challenges affecting communities in Rwanda. I reached him in the capital, Kigali, and we talked about the role that youth can play in protecting and preserving the environment.
First of all, you know, we are the future of this world. We are the future of Rwanda. We are the future of Africa. So we have to take leadership. We have to take action and finding solutions to this climate change, because we are being affected and our future is at stake. So that's why we have come up with this idea. How can we do as young people, using our energy, inspiration and our small actions, as little as they can be, how can we come about with some solutions?
Is it really easy to mobilize them around issues of the environment? That doesn't sound a very appealing topic to young people usually.
Yeah, you know, it's just a matter of the tools that you are using. Oh, sorry, there's some noise behind. It's just more about the tools that you're using. So, you know, young, and the incentives that you put around it.
That's why you're using hip-hop music?
Yes, because we have realized that most young people in Rwanda or in Africa, even the world, most young people identify themselves easily with hip-hop. So we are thinking of using it as a tool, as a channel to convey our message about climate change adaptation, yeah.
Okay. And what is it that inspired you personally to start this movement?
You know, it's because I was very lucky. I've been involved with some other youth networks across the continent who are more working on climate change, especially at the high level, especially with the UNFCCC negotiation. So I was thinking, what can we do? Because I've been attending those international conferences, international climate change negotiations for the past 6 years, and I came to realize that actually, the solution is not at the high level, because they've never been able to find a deal, a binding deal for climate change. So I decided to go down to the ground and work with my communities, with youth right in Rwanda, and see what are the solutions that we can promote at the local level for climate change. So that's why I came up with this idea of starting this movement in 2011.
And what has been their response?
You know, so far the response is positive. However, we still have some challenges. You know, it's more about incentives. And that's why I look forward to this grant from the State Department, because I'll be able to make a very good, catchy, hooking song using hip-hop that many youth, working with local hip-hop stars in Rwanda, and see how we can bring more young people in the movement and see how what we can do together. You know, it's not easy. I'm more working with high school youth and some with the university, yeah.
So you're doing mostly...
Because it's more voluntary-based.
Okay. And so when you talk... So it's mostly young volunteers that are working with you on this campaign. And You talked about incentives. What type of incentives are you referring to?
You know, the best incentives for young people is fun. How much of fun do they have by participating in the movement?
Okay.
So we want to bring more fun in the movement. The second thing is, you know, like, you know, creating this network where they can link up with other hip-hop stars in Rwanda and make friends, you know, with themselves. And also, we are thinking also with in the future to go to the ground and make some activities, some actions that can help young people generate some income, you know, especially for those young people. Yeah, that's why we are thinking of using social entrepreneurship as one way also to bring more incentives and in our movement and more young people coming in, because they know, especially for those who are finishing high school or and the university, many of them are not able to find job immediately. So this kind of movement can help them, you know, to write some proposals and, you know, have some activities being funded, and that's, you know.
Okay,
so
being social entrepreneurs with an outlook towards protecting the environment.
Yes, that is it. Yes.
Are there any specific environmental challenges that you have in Rwanda that you have started addressing?
So our first step is more about capacity building and creating awareness about climate change. Because most people, especially in the communities, don't seem to understand what climate change is. Some families or some community, some people, some members of the communities still think that it's God's response, or it's, you know, people need to understand that something happening. We need to take time to really create awareness. The second step is to work with those young people to build capacity about, you know, social entrepreneurship and also some best practices, you know, as regard to climate change adaptation that we learn from other networks or from other youth, what they're doing in their respective countries, and see how we can implement and adapt it to our own situation and see what actions we can take, like, you know, planting trees, what are the best strategies we can do for it. But, I mean, even about changing behaviors, because it's more about energy consumption at the household level. You know, if people know how to at least to conserve the energy in their houses, you know, like switching off light during the daytime, you know, turning off the TV instead of leaving it in the sleeping mode, you know, those kind of best practices that are small and yet very reachable to many young people. So those are the kind of messages that we can do. There are many activities. We need to fight about deforestation in Rwanda by promoting some cooking stoves that are energy friendly. So people don't need to go and cut trees for cooking and those kind of things. Yeah. Yourself together and get yourself straight. Men don't steal. Hey, most don't borrow. And if you smoke crack, your kids will smoke crack tomorrow. So be more mature. And kids, do your chores. Make your own money. Hey, be proud, that's yours. You know why? Cause that's a man. That's brains, no spite. Staying out of trouble when it comes inside. And a man never loses a fight in God's sight, cause righteous laws are overdue. And this is a message that the ruler Rick threw, and it's true. You know what? Thank you very much for listening to Upfront on the Voice of America. I would like to thank my co-host Nadia Sam in Johannesburg, South Africa. It was another great show. We would also like to thank all our listeners who contributed to the show this time around. And if you have any questions or comments or want to contribute to the show in future, remember to send us an email at upfront@voanews.com. If you want to connect with me on Twitter, my handle is @UpfrontAfrica. Let's connect again next week, right here, same time. On behalf of my colleague Nadia Sami, my name is Jackson Vunganyi. Goodbye. Show me your particular, baby, pull over. Baby, you pull over.